Yeah. We're back. It's been a while. But I'm so happy we're here. We're back in the studio. You know, I was on my way to the studio. You know, you can definitely tell that spring is in the air, and spring is here, because you can see everyone sitting next to the dikes in Amsterdam. You know, they're having either their dinner or they're having a nice glass of white wine, or they're just doing stuff that humans are supposed to be doing, which is socializing with other humans. It is such an amazing thing to see. I mean, forget the crowds. I mean, you know, it's busy along the dikes, but you know what? Who cares? Honestly, I don't care. I mean, I've been through a lot of crap in the last 4 months. So to see something like this, and to see everyone socializing, and the weather's getting warm, we're back in the studio. Good times are here. And I must say, since we've been off air, so to speak, a lot has happened. Prince Philip died. That Nazi died. And I'll tell you, this is the first time I've ever seen the UK actually mourn. Actually really sad that a Nazi has died. Who would have thought? It takes someone in the hierarchy. It takes a hierarchy Nazi for the UK to be sad. So I've only literally just stopped drinking, because I'm not a royalist one bit. And anyone who listens to the show, and anyone who knows me, will know that I am not a royalist. Nor do I care at all about the UK. You know, we have our disagreements. But yeah, my friend in Germany was, because I didn't hear about the news. She WhatsApped me and said, "Oh, did you hear the news?" So I thought, what news? What's happening? Because I know she's pregnant. So I'm thinking, Jesus, has this baby come out prematurely or something? So anyway, she said, "Oh, by the way, Prince Philip has died." So I said, "Oh, but what's the news?" So she said, no, but he's died. So I just replied back with, you know, that yawn emoji. I sent a couple of those, and then she starts saying to me, "Oh, but you know, he was 99. He was just 1 month or 2 months short of his birthday." And I just replied back with a yawn and a sleeping emoji, and I don't care about stuff like that. But it was this last weekend, or this past weekend, that there was the funeral. Did anybody watch that? I didn't. I don't know amongst my circle of friends. I don't know if they watched it. Because, you know, it was this whole publicity thing of, you know, let's not talk about Prince Harry and Prince whatever else his name is, the older brother. You see, I'm not even a royalist. I don't even know who the oldest brother is. But let's not make a big deal of it. So that's why they supposedly never wore all of their military uniform. Because, you know, the royal family is quite, they're really proud of this military heritage that they have, even though they've never fought in any wars. So I don't know how they got any of their, any of those medals that they have. But anyway, so that's the whole reason why the royal family wasn't allowed to wear any association with the military, because, you know, obviously Prince Harry is no longer part of the regime, and they wanted him to feel at home. So what do? They don't put a... they don't wear any medals. They just wear a normal black and white suit. But I think the biggest news, I mean, that's, for me, that's not even news. That's just like, oh, okay, well, it was inevitable. He was 99 years old. I mean, he had a few close shaves last year and the year before that. So it was inevitable he was going to die. I mean, the guy's 99 years old. But that's not even the biggest news that's happening in the world at the moment. And I say this because, for me, I think the biggest news that's come out in the world is, you know, football. Football's in turmoil. People are having to... People are saying they're not going to support clubs again. Their football clubs again. Because... what if you haven't been following football, right? I mean, the thing is, you don't need to follow football in order to know what's going on. I mean, it's been well publicized in the media these last few days. Basically, the biggest teams in Europe, apart from German teams and French teams, but the biggest teams in Italy, Spain, and the UK have decided, no, we're too good for these leagues. We're going to join we're going to create our own league with our own rules. And what a lot of people are annoyed about is, in this league, right, there's no relegation. Now, that itself kind of sends signals to show that this is going to be a corrupt league, because that's what makes football interesting to watch, is you need to be good enough to qualify for competitions, whether it's the Champions League, whether it's the World Cup, or whether it's the Euros, the European Championships. You need to be good enough. And on occasions, there have been teams, whether it's clubs or national teams, that haven't been good enough to qualify. One good example is America. America didn't qualify for the previous World Cup in Russia. Some people say it was a political thing. No, I just think America just wasn't good enough. And ironically, speaking of America, that's the whole reason why this league's been created. Four teams, correct me if I'm wrong, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but four teams that are owned, there are four teams in the UK that are owned by American billionaires. One of them is Liverpool. I think Arsenal's owned by an American. Manchester United is owned by an American. I think that's it. I think that is it. It could be Tottenham Hotspur as well. I'm not too sure, but who cares about Tottenham? They're a shit team anyway, but those four teams are owned by Americans. And basically, this whole Super League, right? This whole Super European League that they are supposedly starting in August this year is modeled exactly the same as any American league. So you've got the NFL and the NBA, two of the biggest sporting leagues in America. And there's no relegation in those leagues. So these leagues, these teams can just play and play and play and play and play and play. It's designed that you cannot get relegated. What's the fun about that? What's so interesting about that? And that's why all these football fans are so angry, and they're saying, "What's the point of that?" Also, you know, there's also travel implications. Obviously, there's a pandemic going on, so supporters don't even know when they can travel. So, you know, even if this league does go ahead, and just for example, Chelsea is playing Juventus in Italy, those supporters won't be able to go to the stadium and watch Chelsea play because of the travel restrictions. And what's even more interesting is that apparently, I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently there's no deal that's been agreed on British television. So you won't even be able to watch this. Apparently this league, you'll only be able to watch in North America and Asia, because that's supposedly where the biggest market is. I don't know about this, but apparently this is the case. I think it's a bit too early to say and too early to talk about broadcasting agreements and all of that, or broadcasting rights. But yeah, if this is the case, if this is the way it's going, then yeah. So very interesting. The whole world has been turned into a shock at the moment. Honestly, and you can see how passionate footballers are. You see, they don't care about anything else. They care just about football. So very interesting to see what's going to happen with this. I've been following this very closely because football is a sport I actually enjoy watching. You know, I don't watch rugby. The only time I watch rugby is if the World Cup is on. And even then, you need to tell me that it's on because I don't even know that it's on. Cricket, I don't even bother watching because it's just an embarrassing thing to watch. And I was actually, speaking of cricket, it was my dad's birthday yesterday. So, you know, I phoned him and, you know, I don't talk to my parents that often. So whenever I do talk to him, especially my father, the first thing he tells me is the cricket. So even then, I don't even have to watch the South African cricket team play because he gives me a real direct direct update on what's happening in the cricket. And you see, this is the thing about South Africans and their cricket team. I don't understand this, but cricket is the only sport in South Africa where it's the only sport that everyone is just so frustratedly passionate about. You know, obviously, in rugby, we expect the Springboks to be good. The South African football team is just embarrassing, so we just know that they shit. But the cricket team, the thing is, we know that they are terrible, but we can't accept that. For some reason, we cannot accept this. And a lot of South Africans, I know a lot of South Africans who get very upset when we lose a cricket match. And, you know, then obviously then they start talking about politics and transformation and all of the stuff that is happening, but they only bring it up when we lose. And, yeah, so anyway, my dad was giving me a full update on, you know, transformation and why he doesn't agree with this transformation and all of that. And I said, look, Dad, South Africa is one of these countries where, for some reason, we don't learn from the mistakes. So, you know what, let the selectors and let Cricket South Africa and let politics play its course, because what's going to happen is they're going to start with transformation. They're going to interfere with all of this stuff that doesn't need to be interfered with. We're going to make an embarrassment of ourselves, if we haven't already, on the world scene. And then we're going to revert back to previous systems. So we'll probably get a white coach again. We'll probably get some retired cricket player who shouldn't be coaching, but anyway, he's coaching. So that's kind of how the system works in South Africa. So, you know, I said to my dad, look, listen, this is just how things work in South Africa. You know this. People who live in South Africa know this. People who have left South Africa know this. This is just how things work. So let this play out. Let this happen. And you'll see. it'll be so embarrassing that they'll have to revert back to previous systems. But yeah, cricket was cricket for some reason is just one of those things that every South African is just so passionate about it. I just don't understand it. We all know that the team is shit, but we just can't accept it. You know, like I said, like the football team in South Africa, we know that they are terrible. In fact, I think Trevor Noah put it very, he put it perfectly. When South Africa, when the football team has to qualify, we actually have to support the other team and hope that the other team either wins or loses, depending on how the group is looking. So we have to support. We have to support Bafana Bafana, but we also have to. We also have to support the other team that's playing and hope that they either win, draw, or lose. This is how the South African football team is structured. I don't understand this, but this is just how it is. But the thing about the South African football team is, as I said, we know that we are shit. People who support Bafana Bafana know that they are shit. You know, it's like a racist. It's like you cannot call a racist out because they've admitted they are racist. If you know what I mean. It's like, well, we can't call Donald Trump out because he's a racist. And he even says he's a racist. So it's one of those things like, you know, once someone has admitted that once they have admitted what they are or who they are, it's like, well, we kind of can't call you out. We can't call you a pedophile because you've admitted you're a pedophile. We can't call you a creep. We can't call you a racist. And we can't call the South African football team shit because everyone knows that they are shit. And that's why nobody that's why nobody wants to coach the team. So, yeah, South African sports is a very interesting animal, that's for sure. I see, as I speak, there is a press conference going on in the Netherlands, and I made a video before I started this podcast, before I started recording. You know, I thought it would be really cool to show everyone our facilities, because I don't think I've ever shown people what our facilities look like. I don't know why. I mean, it's not that we've got anything to hide. I just thought we did this, but I guess not. But I made a video on Instagram, so go have a look at my Instagram account, Wade Hutchinson, and go have a look at the video. Go have a look at our facilities. We've got a very cool coffee machine here. I'm very happy about this. It feels so good to be back in the studio. But there's a press conference happening tonight. And, you know, obviously stuff got leaked out in the press. One of the big things that has been leaked out and I think everyone is happy about is the curfew. Because, again, that was something that stopped me from doing the show, was because I record the show in the evenings and it was just almost impossible for me to do the show. I've spoken about this many times. But now that the curfew's now been pushed back 1 hour because of summer. So instead of a curfew starting at 9 p.m., it now starts at 10 p.m. But now this is apparently supposedly being scrapped from the 29th, if I'm not mistaken, or the 28th, so next week. So this is terrific. Fantastic. It's the best news that ever came out of the Dutch parliament this year. And I don't know if you've been following. I don't know if you've been following my tweets on Twitter or on Instagram. But, and I'm not saying it's me. I'm not saying I'm the one for this. But I've noticed ever since I've made the health minister, Hugo de Jong, public enemy number one. I don't know if it's because of this reason, but he seems to be appearing in the press a lot more than what he usually does. You know, he's starting to appear on television more often, and you're starting to see this guy more often. And I'm not saying it's me. I'm not saying it's my tweets, my tweets that have been attacking him. And I'm not saying it's my Instagram posts that have been attacking him. But something has happened. And it's about time, because if there's one thing that irritates me, it's service delivery, right? That is the one thing that irritates me, is service delivery by politicians, right? You get voted to do a job. Fucking do it, right? Fucking do your job. You're supposedly gonna get everyone vaccinated by the end of July. I don't know where he comes up with this, because the Netherlands is so very anti-vaccination. So I don't know where he's gonna come up with this. And crazy is that he thinks this is a joke, this corona thing. He thinks we are going to live in this curfew, this kind of lockdown forever, because he keeps saying, whenever he gets asked about the vaccinations and when people are more, you know, when certain age groups are likely to get their vaccinations. Oh, no, it's adjustable. The figures are adjustable. The groups, it's adjustable. This guy has no fucking clue what he is doing. And I honestly, I'm shocked this guy still has a job. I am shocked. Beyond words, this guy still has a job. So I'm not saying it's my tweets, because I've been attacking this guy on Twitter and I've been attacking him on Instagram, but I'm getting fed up of politicians not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You want to be a politician. You want to be in the public limelight. Then fucking do your job. It's the same as anyone who has a job. Whether it's Natasha, whether it's Marius, whether it's you who listens to me. Right? You get employed by your manager to do a job. You're supposed to do your job. You know, I've gone past, I'm over people doing their jobs to the best that they can. I'm over that, because, you know, not everyone can do their job perfectly. But if you get employed to do a job, I expect you to do it. Not perfectly, but I expect you to do it and complete it when I ask you to do it. And I'm sick to death of politicians taking the piss out of us. It is ridiculous. And it's not just Hugo de Jong, it's the Dutch government I'm attacking and I'm fucked off about. It's the UK government that I've been attacking, and so far, you know, it's not just me, it's everyone who's been attacking the UK government. And to their credit, they are doing really good things with this vaccination rollout. Really good things. I mean, my sister, who works for one of the companies that supposedly gives you blood clots, even though the contraceptive pill gives you, the chances of you getting a blood clot is, you know, if you take a contraceptive pill. But anyway, she's had her second dose already. So, you know, everyone that I know of has had their dose, has had either their first or their second dose of vaccine, of vaccination in the UK. But that was because the health minister was getting under pressure from everyone in the UK. And good. I'm sick to death of politicians wanting to have this wonderful career, just thinking, oh, people are going to vote for me. I'll just put my feet up on the table. And when it comes time for me to talk, I'll just write up some shit, or I'll get my spokesperson to write up something. And, you know, people will believe me. No, no, that is utter nonsense. We are a lot smarter and clever than you think we are. The thing is, I think politicians still think it's 1950 or it's the 1960s where the public don't have access to information. You know, back in the 60s and the 50s, we used to rely on the newspaper. So every morning, we would have to rely on the newspaper for our source of information from the government. And even then, it was censored. You can't censor us now. You can't bullshit us now. The public are a lot smarter than you think we are. And I think we deserve a lot more. We deserve a lot more from public servants than what we're getting at the moment. So this guy really, really needs to pull his finger out his ass and actually do his fucking job. I'm sick to death of this guy. You know, if you go onto his Instagram account, go look at Hugo de Jong's Instagram account. It's all of this really nice stuff with his wife or his girlfriend or his whatever that woman is. All of these nice pictures of nature and enjoying a wonderful Sunday walk with my other half. No, do your fucking job. Ah, oh, man, it frustrates me, this. Honestly, this is my thing now. I'm going to start attacking politicians because politicians need to wake the fuck up. And people have told me, you know, Wade, you need to be careful, you know, doing what you're doing. Because, you know, you might get kicked out the Netherlands or something might happen. You know what? I'm at a point where I don't care. I do not care. Because if I get kicked out the Netherlands or if something bad happens to me, that just shows me that politicians are scared and they cannot handle the truth. And they cannot handle people, the public, telling them to do their job. So that just shows you, if that happens to me, that kind of is self-explanatory. It kind of shows you that they are scared. They don't like when people tell them what to do and they cannot do their job. So what do they do? Oh, I'll just kick Wade out the Netherlands. They'll get rid of that problem. So I hope that, you know, because if it is me, I'm not saying it is me, but I hope that if it is me that's, you know, been attacking Hugo de Jong on Twitter and Instagram, I hope he's working. I really hope he's woken up, because I've started seeing this guy more and more on television, and good, fucking good. You know, that's me done ranting. Did you guys miss that? Hey, speaking of corona, I see that cases in India are just skyrocketing. I mean, it is really bad in India. Really bad. I was watching a update on Deutsche Welle, because something that I really enjoy about Deutsche Welle is that they give like a 3-minute update of what's happening in the world with corona. It's really cool. And they showed an update of what's happening in India. People, and this is the thing, I'm not saying this in a bad way, right? Don't take this in a bad tone, but something like this you will only see in India. people are having to share beds in the hospital. I saw this, and this one guy, he's lying on the bed. You can see he's definitely got corona because he can't, he's got that, you know, oxygen mask, and he's just lying there, and I don't even know if he's still alive. And then you've got some other guy sitting next to him who, he still looks healthy, but, you know, he's kind of like being, kind of like, he's sitting on the on the edge of the bed because obviously the guy who's got corona, you know, he's lying like a starfish. So his whole body's, his legs are open, his arms are opened. He's literally gasping for air. And, you know, there's some people who are lying on the bed. So, you know, so to give you an idea, someone is lying at the end of the bed where you put your feet. And then there's another person lying in front of the bed where your head is supposed to be. So kind of like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, if you've ever seen that movie, you know, where they go to their house and the old people are lying in that bed. And one person has their head next to someone's feet and vice versa. That's what it looks like in India. It's really sad. It's really, really sad to see. And, you know, again, I say this not in a bad way. I say this because you will not see this anywhere else but India. It's really bad. And I see that a Indian journalist, He live tweeted his deteriorating condition as he was getting, or as he was trying to get a treatment for his corona suffering. And he inevitably died without medical care. And that just shows you, you know, India's a spiraling corona crisis. There's been reports of up to 250,000 infections, you know, in the past week, which is just insane. I've never seen any figures like that. I mean, you would maybe see that in the whole of Europe, but this is in India, where there's a population of, what, 2 billion people? Something like that. So it's really, really, it's really sad to see. And it's really strange, interesting, because India in the first wave did really well. Surprisingly, they did really well. I was even impressed with India. I remember in March last year when the whole world was closing their borders and effectively coming to a complete standstill, I remember everyone saying, oh no, this is terrible for India because of, you know, the population that they have. But India came out really well. You know, obviously people died, but not as much as everyone feared. And they were one of the few countries that everyone looked at and said, wow, you know, well, if a population like India can cope and can do it, then why not us? And it's the same as Germany. Germany was also one of the countries that came out on top. And now the country's, geez, it's spiraling out of control with the infections. I mean, 2 weeks ago, my friend in Germany, Lily, her sister got corona. She's recovered now. But now her mother has corona. So, you know, it's here. It's, you know, it's part of us now. And I think we just got to be careful. You know, obviously the Dutch government is relaxing some restrictions. They're getting rid of the curfew, you know, but we've got to be careful now, and we've got to just show a bit of common sense. I think that's the best thing we got. That's the best thing we have to do at the moment, is we've got this opportunity to, you know, to show the rest of Europe, you know, how it's done. I mean, France is completely shut down. Germany is, yeah, completely shut down. They've introduced a curfew now, just like the Netherlands did. So I think the Netherlands is in a perfect opportunity to show the rest of Europe how it's done. So just because these restrictions have been relaxed, don't screw it up. Because I do not want to go back into a curfew, and I don't want to have stricter lockdowns put in place. So take this as an initiative on us, right? We've got this opportunity to show the rest of the world and Europe how everything should be done. But hey, listen, I need to say something. Some of our episodes have been taken off Spotify. And the reason why our episodes, or some of these episodes, have been taken off Spotify is because supposedly Universal Music is very angry with us. Now, look, I understand the reasoning for this, because, you know, in the beginning, when we started the show, we used to play music, and we never used to edit the podcast. We used to just record the show and upload the podcast. But now, you know, since we've been doing this, we've been, you know, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, what you, the listener, enjoy, what you don't enjoy. Obviously, one of the things was the music. So we cut the music out. We scrapped the music out completely. And we don't play music anymore. But obviously, because no one is buying music anymore, greedy Universal Music is bitching to Spotify. And some of our episodes have been taken down. There are some other episodes that are under investigation because of this matter. But you know what? Again, I'm at a place where, you know what? There's so much greed in this world. You know, obviously that's one of the reasons for this European Super League to happen, is because all of these rich clubs are greedy. There's not enough money in the league that they are playing in, so that's why they want more money. And it's the same as Universal Music. You know, why should people pay, you know, whatever it is that a CD costs now? I mean, I don't even know if people still buy CDs, but why should you pay 10 euros, for example, for that CD, where you can pay for a subscription for as low as 10 euros on Spotify, on Deezer. You can get Apple Music for, I think it is 10 euros for 3 months or whatever it is. You can pay for a subscription and you can stream all your favorite music unlimitedly for less than 10 euros. And obviously all the artists are bitching about this now, because obviously they're not rich now. Obviously it's taken a lot longer for them to get their money, because I think for one song it's like 0.001 cent or something ridiculous. So, you know, they're not getting as rich as they were from, you know, CD sales. So that's why Universal Music is getting annoyed, is because, you know, no one's buying CDs anymore. People are reverting to either streaming services, so Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, and there's other outlets out there, or they are illegally downloading their music. So, you know, why should we buy stuff like this? And why should, you know, and I agree with the football supporters. Why should Why should they buy merchandise from that club if you're just greedy? You just want all the money. Unfortunately, this whole world is just run on greed. And I, you know, people need to stand up for all of these organizations, whether it's Universal Music, whether it's Chelsea Football Club, or whether it's politicians, because politicians are just as greedy as the musicians are. So some of our episodes have been taken off already. I know there are some, and I say I know this because I've been getting emails from Spotify, from their complaints team. I didn't even know Spotify had a complaints team, but we've been getting emails from them. But you know what? Most of our current episodes haven't got music anyway. So yeah, it's just Universal's way of showing that they are greedy because, you know, no one's buying CDs anymore. And, you know, obviously if the record company doesn't get paid, then the artists don't get paid. That's how it works. That's how it's worked since the 40s, since music became mainstream. But anyway, so I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, what's happening and all of that. It's just, you know, it's just how show business works. Very quickly, before I wrap things up on this show, Thomas, if you guys may remember Thomas, he used to read the sports on the show, and he used to have a tech show. Now, Thomas isn't part of Amsterdam Lab anymore. He's still part of Amsterdam Lab in the background, but he's not involved with Amsterdam Lab as a net contributor. So he doesn't have a show anymore. Now, the reason he doesn't have a show anymore is because of what he does. He works for a very big client. He takes pictures and all of that. And he's actually been, surprisingly, and to his credit, he's been given a lot of work. So that's why he's taken a step back and he said to us, look, guys, I have a lot of work on my plate and I'm not able to do a show. And you know what? I'm happy for him. I'm happy that, he's got a show. He's got business and all of that. But I'm also sad that he's not going to be able to do a show because, I remember one of Marius's friends who unfortunately passed away a few months ago. He loved that show. And before he passed away, he actually messaged Marius to say, I love the tech show. So, you know, at least Thomas leaves with some credibility. You know, people enjoyed what he did. And I said this to Thomas, if you're going to have a show, make it relevant. Because there are lots of tech shows out there. Make it unique. Make it yours. So, yeah. Thomas isn't part of the team per se. He's not contributing, but Natasha's still here. Marius is still here, and we're going to be working a lot to get things back up and running on Amsterdam Lab. I know every time people always say to me, you know, Wade, every time you say to us, we'll chat again tomorrow and you don't come back. Yes, I know it, but I don't know what the future holds. You know, sometimes I think I'll be back tomorrow and I'm not. But we're going to work tirelessly behind the scenes, me, Natasha, Marius, to get things back up and running here on Amsterdam Lab. It's summertime. Good things are happening. So watch this space. And looking forward to a lot of things. All right, everybody. Take care of yourselves. It's springtime. Enjoy the weather. And we'll chat again soon.